Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday night shiur for Parshas Noso. Parshas Noso, as you probably know, is the longest single sedra in the Chumash. And in the middle of the sedra, we have the beautiful psukim, which make up the text of and which present the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. The first of the sources, Bamidbar Parak Vav, starting in Pasuk Chav Beis, where there was Moshe Lemor, Chav Gimel, Daber El Aaron Lebanav, Lemor Kos, Savarchos, Bnei Yisrael, Omor Lehem. In this way, so shall you bless the Bnei Yisrael. Tell them, and Chavdal, Chavhei, and Chavav, the three psukim, Rech Hashem Yishmerecha, you are Hashem Ponav Elecha Yikunecha, and Yisrael Hashem Ponav Elecha Yosem Lucho Shalom, and then Pasuk Chav Zayim, Besom Shmiel Bnei Yisrael Bani Abarchem, they will place my name, Kohanim will sort of be my conduit to present, place me and my bracha on Bnei Yisrael. I will give them a bracha. Those are the psukim that we refer to as the psukim of Birchas Kohanim and the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. What I'd like to look at this evening is the question as to why in Chutz Laretz, really two things, why we say Birchas Kohanim only on Yom Tov and Chutz Laretz, and at the end, why Birchas Kohanim and Chutz Laretz, what do we do about that when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos? That happened, of course, last week. This past Shabbos, the second day of Shavuos, it was Yantif. And there are people, some people in my shul, that told me that when they grew up, they did not have Birchas Kohanim at all when Shabbos and Yantif coincide. I'm not talking about Shabbos Chol HaMoed now, but when Yantif landed on Shabbos, it did last week on the second day of Shavuos, and it's going to happen again. It's a timely discussion. It will happen again three times in the fall, because all three of the four Yom Tovim fall out on Shabbos. The first day of Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, and the first day of Sukkot is on Shabbos, and Shmini Atzeres on Shabbos. We'll have the same question again by the four Yom Tovim. What do we do with Birchas Kohanim when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos? But first, I'd like to take a look at the some details about this mitzvah. Where exactly is this mitzvah applicable? When does it apply? Where does it apply? So if you look in Maseches Tomid, the Mishnah I quoted on Daf Lamed Gimel and Beis, source number two, the Mishnah presents Birchas Kohanim as something which is done in conjunction with the daily Avodas Hayom, the daily service in the Beis Hamikdash. So it says in that Mishnah, the Kohanim would come and they would stand on the steps near the entry to the main hall of the Beis Hamikdash. And it continues and says, Uvarchu sa'am bracha achas. They would recite one bracha to the people who were there. It's the same three psukim, but in the Beis Hamikdash, they would say it as one long bracha, three psukim, and in Medina, I mean elsewhere, they would break the bracha up into three parts, similar to the way we do it today, the Bar Tanura. On that Mishnah and Tomid in the Mishnayis, it's Perek Zayin, Mishnah Beis, or three. Vova Amdu means La'achar Shebarcho Vekarov, also Avodas Musayel. After they did various other Avodas, which were specified in earlier Mishnayos, there in Maseches Tamid, various other parts of the daily service in the Beis Hamikdash, Bo L'malos Olam, they came to the steps there. Vachasam Bracha Achas, and Rabbi Tanur there says, Behain Shosha Psukim Shal Birchas Kohanim, Yivrecha Yar and Yisrael. Same three Psukim, Vekarle Bracha Achas, they're called one Bracha. They would not, as we do, when the Kohanim bench the Birchas Kohanim, when they say the Birchas Kohanim, we say Amen after each pasuk. Recha Hashem Yishmerecha, Amen. Yor Hashem Panav Alecha Yichonecha, Amen. Yisra Hashem Panav Alecha Yisrael Melech Hashem, Amen. There's three separate statements. In the Beis Hamikdash, they're read consecutively with no Amen in the middle, just an Amen at the end. That's why it's called Bracha Achaz. So from that source, it appears that the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim is part of the Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. The Rambam in Hilchas Tfila Unasiyas Kapayim. Actually, Hilchas Tfila is the main part of that section. At the end, the Rambam appends the laws of Birchas Kohanim, and the Chazal often refer to Birchas Kohanim as Nesias Kapayim. So it literally means lifting up of the hands, because the Kohanim lifted their hands, and they still do. They lift their hands when they make the bracha. So that's why it's sometimes called, most of the times called Nesias Kapayim by Chazal. We in English, based on the Yiddish slang, call it Duchanin. I call it Duchanin. Because they would stand on some elevated platform called the Duchan when they gave the bracha, or as we just saw on steps and so on, they stood in an elevated place. So therefore, it's called the Duchan. Anyway, the Rambam Hilchas Tfila Unasiyas Kapayim, at the very end of Hilchas Tfila, has a couple chapters on the laws of Birchas Kohanim. So in Perek Yudal Lachates, so it's four, the Rambam writes, Ketzer Birchas Kohanim Mikdash. What would they do? Hakonim Olam Laduchan, they would go on to this platform, Achar Shiashlima, Hakonim Avodas Tomat Shal Shachar, at the end of the service of the Tomat Shal Shachar, the daily morning offering. And it would be in Judea Malagabi Roshen, they would raise their hands above their heads and so on. Kohen Gadol wouldn't raise his hands all the way because he's not allowed his hands higher than tzitz, a different din. Okay? And Echad Makriyoson Mila Bamila, and somebody would call out word by word. They'd be like a prompter, the way we have today. Somebody says, Yerechacha, and the Kohanim answers, Yerechacha, right? There's somebody who calls out. With the makri, just like we do today, They don't answer Amen after each pasuk, but rather only in the Beis Hamikdash, it's considered one bracha. They would answer Amen at the end. They didn't say Amen either. They said Baruch Hashem Elokim Elokeishem Menolam Olam. That's a sort of expanded Amen that was used in the Beis Hamikdash. Okay. And Halacha Yedalad, the same parak Yedalad, Hilchos Tzunos Yitzchak Kapayim, the Rambam writes, the end of source 4, the Mikdash Marokin Berachas Kohanim Pam Achas Bayom Achai Tomas HaShachar, and they would do it once a day at the end of the Tomas HaShachar, they would stand on the Malas Ulam and they would make the bracha that we said, and in Medina, they would do it by other tefillahs as well. I mean, according to the Rambam, not everyone agrees, but according to the Rambam, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Berachas Kohanim was only once a day as part of the Shachar service. It wasn't done in the afternoon. We, Duchen, says the Rambam on other occasions too, just not at Mincha, but let's say with this Musaf, with his Neil and so on, they'd be Duchen as well at that time. Anyway, at this point, it would appear that the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim is part of the Avodas Hayom in the Beis HaMikdash. It's part of the Tomichel Shachar activities in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Birchas Kohanim, by the way, my son pointed out to me today that actually, about 40 years ago, more than 40 years ago, they discovered, near Yerushalayim in excavations, they discovered something called the Katev Hinom tablets, which is dates back to earlier than 600 BCE, means before the Korban Bayis Rishon. They found that the oldest piece of Torah, the oldest written psukim that we have, it was found in some kind of a kemeah, some kind of an amulet, the words of Birchas Kohanim Take. So that's the oldest written text of psukim that we have anywhere, Birchas Kohanim. So obviously it's a special thing, but it appears that it was something associated with the Avodas Hayom and the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's not illogical to conclude that today, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, there's no longer any mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, because again, it was part of the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's categorized as any number of other mitzvahs which have to do with the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, which today sadly can no longer do. So then one could conclude that indeed in the Beis HaMikdash as well, I'm sorry, it was only mitzvah in the Beis HaMikdash and not in the Gula or anywhere else as well. And that's what one could conclude. However, if you take a look in the Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, Gemara in Sota says in Sura number 5, any Kohen who is eligible to go Duchen, and he doesn't go up, he refuses to participate and so on, okay, any Kohen who does that violates, as it were, three mitzvahs asay, three different mitzvahs, namely from our Pesukim back in Source 1, Ko Sivarchu, Pasuk Chav Gimel, and Omer Lahem in Pasuk Gimel, and the Samo Shmi in Pasuk Chav Zayin. So in a certain sense, a Kohen who refuses to deliver this bracha violates three different assays. And it appears that the Gemara is not talking only about in the framework of the Beis HaMikdash. This Gemara is talking about even in general. So from this Gemara, it already appears that the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim is not in fact limited to the Beis HaMikdash, but rather is applicable elsewhere as well. The Yerushalmi discusses in Brachas Paragimel Halacha Aleph, the Yerushalmi in Brachas Paragimel Halacha Aleph, source number 6, the Rambam also discusses whether a Kohen, it's a technical question, whether a Kohen can become Tomei. Let's say there's something in the shul, there's a dead body or something in the shul, and can the Kohen go in order to do Birchas Kohanim, right? Which is an important enough mitzvah that it applies even outside the Beis HaMikdash, and a Kohen can even become Tomei for it. So again, it's a technical question. Okay, the Pnei Moshe explains in 7, Pergim Alach Aleph and Brachos, this is crying, Nish Tumah Beis HaKnesses, some other type of Tumah Beis HaKnesses, can the Kohen be there, or remain there before going out, Lisa is Kapov. And the Gemara mentions the same thing, that someone who doesn't do Berachos Kohanim at the end of the 6th, Kol Kohen Shu Omer Beis HaKnesses, Eino says Kapov, over Basay. It doesn't mention three different Asays, it mentions one Asay, but in any event, it looks as though perhaps this applied even outside of the framework of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the truth is that it's here in our parsha, Parshas Noso, is where the three psukim are mentioned for the first time. But there is earlier reference to the Kohanim delivering Birchas Kohanim earlier than our parsha, and that is back in Parsha Shmini at the time of the dedication of the Mishkan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that year, less than 1 year after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the pasuk there in Parsha Shmini at the time of the dedication of the Mishkan, Perek Tes, pasuk of Beis, verse 8, it says, Vayisa Aaron Hashadom, Aaron HaKohen, lifted up his hands, and Vayivarchem, and he blessed the people, Vayered Ma'asos HaChatas V'olav HaShalom. And then he came down from where he offered the different karbanos in association with that occasion of the Hakamas HaMishkan. So what bracha did he give them? This is back in Parsha Shmini. So the Pesukim don't mention what he said. Rashi, their Chumash, their Chazal say, per test pasuk of Beis Yikra, source 9, by Varchim, Birchas Kanim, Yivarechachal Yor Yisla. Those are the same three things. The Pesukim, for whatever reason, are not mentioned until later, until here in Parsha's Noso, in our Seder, but it's already back in Parsha Shmini. That was the bracha which Aaron delivered. So it's interesting, the Mechilta de Miluim, the Sifra, that's the Torah's Kohanim in the Medrash Halacha, over there in Parsha Shmini. There, the Medrash Halacha says, "We come to the middle of was Yud Zayin." It says, "Vayisa Aaron Yoda v'Sa'am." So it's 10. Ella Amreder by Varchem. Also, Shah Zocha Manas Kuna. And our purpose, for our purpose now, is Zocha Benesius Kapayim Lo Uladorosav Ad Sheichu Hamesim. Ad Sheichayu Hamesim. Well, this mitzvah at that point when Aaron delivered this blessing to the people was confirmed that this mitzvah would be incumbent upon, would belong, so to speak, to the Kohanim from then on. Okay, from then in history on until the time of Tchias HaMeisim, meaning long after the Beis HaMikdash. So in fact, the obligation is not limited to when there's a Beis HaMikdash standing. Rather, for all time, this mitzvah belongs to Aaron, implying that Pirkei Kohanim extends well beyond the Beis HaMikdash. Similarly, there's a Medrash Halacha in Parshas Re'eh, the Sifrei. The Medrash Halacha on Vayikra is called the Sifra. That's in the singular because on one Sefer Vayikra. Sifrei, which means two Svarim, is the Medrash Halacha in Bamidbar and Varim together. So it's called the Sifrei. So you have the Sifra in Parsha Shmini, which indicates that Birchas Kohanim belongs to the Kohanim Ad Sheichayu HaMeisim till the time of Tchias HaMeisim forever, even without the Beis HaMikdash. Similarly, in source number 13, Sifrei in Parshas Re'eh, Pisca Samach Beis, says as follows, based on a Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, Perkut Beis, Pasuk Hay, in source 11, speaks about the Beis HaMikdash being the, well, it doesn't mention Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim by name. Yerushalayim never mentioned by the name Yerushalayim in the Torah Shul Tzav. It's mentioned many times in Novi and Ksuvim, but not in the Torah. It just says, Ki'al ma'amokom ha'shiyuch ha'ashem al-kenim ha'kol shi'itrem la'sumas shumol sham. Shikh no'sidu shavos ha'shama. So on the words la'sumas shumol sham, the Medrash says, Nemar kan shmo, and Nemar lahala, and an hour earlier in our parsha, and also it says, V'samu es shemi. Right, that's back in source number 1, Perak Chav, Perak Vav of Parsha Nasan, Midbar Pasuk, Chav Vav. It says, sorry, Chav Zayin. It says, V'somu es shmi al b'nei Yisrael. And here it says, L'asum es shemo. So the Medrash there says, well, maybe this implies that the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, where the word shmi or shmo is used, okay, is only applicable where Shem Hashem is found, namely in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? That's what the Medrash says. Maybe Mashmo Omer Khan Beis HaMechira, Afshmi Omer Lahal Beis HaMechira. Maybe just as in this Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash. That's where the Pasuk's talking about, the chosen place of Hashem. So maybe the place of his name mentioned in our Parsha, and also in regards to Birchas Kohanim, is also only the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? So only out of the Mikdash, the Gulam Minayin, how do we know that there's Birchas Kohanim outside the Beis HaMikdash? Talmud Lomar, I quote another pasuk which also mentions the Shem Hashem, and that is the pasuk in Parshas Yisro, which we actually read last week on the first day of Shavuos. Shmos Perkov, pasuk of Aleph, says at the end of the pasuk, "B'chol ha'makom asher azker shmi, avo alecha berachticha, I'll bless you wherever my name is, everywhere, not just the Beis HaMikdash." So that Medrash Halacha also implies that Birchas Kohanim is not limited to the Beis HaMikdash; it applies everywhere. So again, we started by saying that perhaps one could argue that the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim is part of the Avodas Hayom in the Beis HaMikdash, which it was, and therefore is not applicable anywhere else. Okay, but now we see from the Sifra, from the Sifrei, and from those two Gemaras that we saw, Gemara in Sotah and Shalmin Brachas, which implied that it applies even outside the framework of the Beis HaMikdash. And there's one other pasuk which, at least according to some, presents the same idea. In Parsha Shoftim, it speaks about the Kohanim not having a chelek. In Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Aleph, the Kohanim didn't have any inheritance, any land in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because he was chosen. Kohanim, they were told, were chosen l'sharis, to serve Hashem. And v'sharis b'shem alakav. So the Medrash, so the Malbim rather, in Perek Yud Ches, Os Nun Beis, in 15, it says, what sheirus is there when there's no Beis HaMikdash? Maybe the Kohanim should get land when there's no Beis HaMikdash. No, they still have sheirus. They still have service, namely with Birchas Kohanim. Sheirus of Birchas Kohanim is included as well. Finally, there's a Tosefta, two Toseftas. One in Demai, Perek Beis Halacha Zayin, 16. Unesias Kapayim mibifnim umibachutz. The Nesias Kapayim is inside, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash, also outside the Beis HaMikdash. And another Tosefta in Sotah, or Zayin Halacha Hey 17. Ukishem she nesias kapayim b'mikdash kach nesias kapayim b'gvulin. Says openly that the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim is not limited to the Beis Hamikdash. And Rashi in Chulin, the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Rav, quotes that Tosef and Demai, Perek Beis Halacha Zayin from Surah 16. And Rashi says Bein mi bifnim means b'mikdash, right? And Bein mi b'chutz means b'gvulin. B'chol ir b'ir b'beis haknesses, right? In shuls. So therefore, we see from all these sources that the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, in fact, is not limited to the Beis Hamikdash, but applies outside of the Beis Hamikdash. Well, most assume that this is a Doraisa, that this requirement is a Doraisa. There are some who say that it's a Derabbanan, this man is outside the Beis Hamikdash, but that's not what most hold. Take a look, for example, Tosis in Menachos Daf Mem Daal Amud Aleph 19, when that same statement is made that any Kohen that doesn't go up to Duchen violates different assays and so on. So Tosis says that's Dafka Kisha Omer Lo Ale, when somebody tells him to go up, just like we do, we call up the Kohanim, Kohanim, you know, we summon the Kohanim, okay? So Tzorach Shonim Chazan HaKnesses, the Chazan HaKnesses, again, it sounds like Tosis is talking about the Chazan, he doesn't mean the Kenta, the Chazan, means like the Shamish, the Gabbai, the guy in charge, whoever's in charge, the MC, you know? So he would call the Kohanim up, and then it sounds like Tosis is talking, even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. Similarly, the Rambam, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos Esei Chof Vav, the Rambam writes, a mitzvah chavav 20, he should nitztavu a kohanim levarach is all b'chol yom. And he doesn't say only the Beis Hamikdash. He quotes our psukim here in Parshas Noso. He tells us where this gemara is discussed, where this din is discussed. And the Rambam does not say that it's a mitzvah limited to the Beis Hamikdash. And he says it's a mitzvah, the kohanim, to give their bracha Jewish people b'chol yom every single day. Similarly, in the end of the list of the mitzvahs I say, the Rambam has like a conclusion. I printed at 21 and say for a mitzvah, the Rambam, see a mitzvah, I say, he sort of groups the mitzvahs together, and he says, there's certain mitzvahs which are on a daily basis, and he talks about tzitzis and tefillin and so on, which apply on a daily basis, and among them is one of them is Birchas Kohanim. And as he says at the end, that only applies to Kohanim, obviously, but that's a mitzvah, which the Rambam seems to say is every day. It's like tzitzis and tefillin. It's not only in the Beis Hamikdash, it's all over. And finally, the Rambam, actually, two other places in his introduction is 22 Pratei HaMitzvos. He goes through his introduction to the Mishnah Torah. He says there are 14 sections in this Mishnah Torah. That's why it's called Yad HaChazaka, Yad HaZudal, 14. Ro'isa L'chala Chibuzel Arba HaSosfarim. And Sefer Sheni, the second book, which we call Abba, he says that's going to talk about Echol Bo HaMitzvos Shei Tadiros, the common everyday mitzvahs, okay? Kigon Kriyashma Tfilo Tfilo Brichas HaKohanim. Now, full disclosure, some versions have not the word Birchas Kohanim, but brachas in general. Okay, but according to some versions, anyway, the Rambam lists here Birchas Kohanim as mitzvahs which apply on a daily, regular basis. And indeed, in his Hagdama to Hilchos Tfilo, Nesias Kapayim, we mentioned before, the introduction, so the Rambam in every one of his halachas, when he introduces the halacha, he tells you what mitzvahs are going to be covered in that section. So if you open up to the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam tells you, okay, here are the mitzvahs that are discussed in Hilchos Shabbos. He lists off the mitzvahs. And you open up the Hilchos Chametz Matzah, he tells you, here are the mitzvahs that are being discussed here with regards to Pesach and so on. So in the Hilchos Tfilah, he says, Hilchos Tfilah, Beres Kohanim, verse 23, Yesh B'chon Shtei Mitzvahs Aseh. Here there are two mitzvahs. One, Achas Lavad Hashem B'chol Yom Mitzvah. One is, pardon me, to serve Hashem daily in davening. And Shnei Levarach Kohanim Yisrael B'chol Yom. And that applies at all time, it looks like, not just in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's clear, we saw Tosfos, we saw the Rambam, that this mitzvah applies at all times. No question? No. Okay. It applies at all times. The Ramban also, next we said, in Parashas Balos, Chavim Midbar Perek Ches, Pasuk Beis, writes, V'chein Birchas Kohanim Asmucha L'Chanukas HaNasim No Heges L'Olam. This week's Seder ends with Chanukas HaNasim after Birchas Kohanim, and the Ramban writes, No Heges L'Olam. It applies at all time. In all places. And likewise, the Sefer HaChinuch, here in Parshas Noso, Mitzvah Shin Ayin Ches, Mitzvah Birchas Kohanim B'chol Yom, is a mitzvah of the Kohanim to give a bracha every day, Shenitztavu HaKohanim Shiyavarchu, Yisrael B'chol Yom, and at the end he writes, V'noheges Mitzvah Zu B'chol Makom B'chol Zman B'Kohanim. This is a mitzvah comes upon the Kohanim, in all places, all times, again, not limited to the Beis HaMikdash. And so, clearly, there is a din to present the Kohanim to present their bracha on a daily basis. And that's why the Rambam writes in Parak Tesvav of Hilchos Tfilin Sis Kamayim Alachim Yubayis 26, based on that Gemara we saw before, Kol Korin She'en Ol Aduchan Afal Pi She'Bitul Mitzvah Say Achas, He's mevatel mitzvah saseh even today. Even today, he's mevatel mitzvah saseh, and it's likely he violated three different mitzvahs, like we said before. And the same thing appears in the Shulchan Aruch. Or Chaim Siman Kuf Chav Ches, that's a long siman about Berachos Kohanim. Siman Kuf Chav Ches is Beis, says the same thing. You violate a mitzvah, and it becomes like you violate three different things. And the idea being that this is a mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah at all times. And so the question now is, why do we, and I say we, I mean Ashkenazim, most Ashkenazim, why do we not do Berachos Kohanim every day? Right? Some people come and say, you know, you go to Eretz Yisrael, the most places in Eretz Yisrael, they do it every single day, every morning. It was Shachar's. They're duchen every day, and twice on Shabbos, Shachar and Musaf. So people ask, how come in Eretz Yisrael they duchen every day? That's not the question. That question is, how come we don't? Right? The kash is on us, not on them. Okay, they're right. I mean, that we just saw that the Rambam and everybody, I mean, it sounds like there's a mitzvah of Birchus Kohanim duchen every single day. So how come we don't do that? The question again is on us, not on them. And the Sfardim, even here, in Chutzar, the Sfardim also duchen every single day. I say Sfardim, I mean Eidot HaMizrach, not the Chassidim, but the Eidot HaMizrach. Okay. The Sfaradim, they also do Chanavi there. But again, the question is not why do they do that? The question is, why don't we do it? What's that? Because we only do Chanavi Yontu. So there are Ashkenazi Rishonim who deal with this question. The Maharil, in his Chuvas HaChadoshos, the Maharil, from Chof Aleph, was 28. Ba'ogr Nishal Gdol Ador Mari Molin, that's Yaakov Molin, that's the Maharil, was asked, Loma Eina Kan Rosen Kapein B'chol Yoma Acher Shu Mitzvah Saseh. What's going on here? It's a Mitzvah Saseh. Everybody counts it. The Rambam, everybody counts it. It's a mitzvah saseh, and according to Moses, the mitzvah saseh, even without the Beis HaMikdash, remains a mitzvah saseh midoraisa. So what is going on here that we don't do it? It's a mitzvah saseh. So he tries to give an answer, not necessarily the most satisfying answer, but he mentions that the Kohanim have the minig, that they're tovel in the mikvah. They want to give the bracha of Birchas Kohanim b'tahara, so they're tovel. And they want to immerse in a mikveh beforehand, and it's not always plausible to do that. The Kohanim developed a minig, to retire themselves. And again, it's not always plausible to do that for various reasons. It's embarrassing to somebody who couldn't do it, and so therefore they kind of did away with duchening on regular weekdays. We're going on Shabbos, just on Yom Tov when people anyway went to the mikveh chayav adam atarah, so that's the regular. Nowadays it's not so common. We do it before Shem Kippur. Mentioned Shulchan Aruch, but before Yom Tov, most people don't, but at least Yom Tov, many more Kohanim would go to the mikveh. So that's what the Maharil says, all right? And, that's why we don't do it today, because they're going to be, the Kohanim will be tummy, and they will violate that meaning of not doing Birchus Kohanim unless they're Tahor. Okay, I mean, sounds like you're throwing out the babe with the bath. Right, I mean, there's only a minute. There's no din that the Kohen has to toivel beforehand, because that's what they used to do, and they can't do it, so they did away with Berachos Kohanim. But that's the first answer he gives. Then he gives a couple other answers, does the Maharil. Od nirek tzas, mishum bitl malacha. On a weekday, people have to go to work. People are running out of shul, as it is very quickly. Add duchening to the davening. It's just going to make the davening longer. And like he mentions various other things, why we don't do hosafas, we don't add on to aliyahs, and certainly not on a weekday. In Shabbos, most places try to avoid it. That's a sort of a tircha tzibura type of answer, that it just makes the davening longer. That's the other answer he gives. And then he mentions also bittul Torah. Again, it takes away time from learning. It's a little more difficult to understand. And finally, he also mentioned at the end that oftentimes in shul, I don't know how it was in those days, but there will be non-Jews there, so you're not supposed to give the bracha to non-Jews. Needless to say, these aren't the most intellectually satisfying answers. There seems to be justification. There are some form of justification, either because of Tahara or because of Bittul Malacha, Tichlut Tzibura, or Bittul Torah, or somehow that there are Goyim perhaps there. Okay, but that's the answer that Maharil gives, and that is the Ashkenazi. Again, Maharil is a very important figure in terms of Minhag Ashkenaz, and that is the Ashkenazic Minhag. Actually, it seems maybe even earlier than Maharil, the Maharam Rutenberg. There's a Maharam Rutenberg had a student by the name of Shimon ben Tzorok. Okay, and he wrote a sefer called the Tashbeitz. There's another Chuvas Tashbeitz from a Sfardi named Rav Shimshon ben Semach. Okay, that's somebody else. Okay, but this Tashbeitz, so he was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg. Maharam Rutenberg, as you may know, spent the last 14 years of his life in jail because they held him for ransom. He told the community not to pay the ransom. It was too exorbitant. It would bankrupt the community, so he was in jail. But and they were nice enough to him. They let his Talmidim come visit him anyway. So that this Talmud of his, Shimshon ben Tzorok, would go and write down some of his Rebbe's teachings. So in the Sefer Tashbeitz Katan, some Kuf Tzadi Zion, The Maharam deals with the question, what happens if a Kohen is the Chazen on Yom Tov? For Musaf, right? And we Duchen. A question comes up today too. The Baal Musaf is a Kohen. So what do you do about Duchen? He said, it's not our problem now what the answer to that question is. He does turn around, washes before, whatever. Someone else calls it out, but many assume it's better to avoid the problem in the first place. Let him be the Chazen for Shachas. Well, let him be the Chazen a different day, not on Yom Tov, he's a Kohen. But okay. In any event, that's the question, what should he do? And again, whatever the answer is, it's clear. Why did the Maharam only raise that question? Okay, tell us what to do. Why would he only raise that question if the Kohen is a Chazan Yom Tov? Why didn't he raise the question if the Kohen is a Chazan on a regular Tuesday, on a regular Thursday in July, whatever? Right. Well, why does he raise that question? Evidently, because that didn't happen. Evidently, by the time of the Maharam Rutenberg already, it was only that they duchen only on Yom Tov. Okay, and. And the two couples Simon later, that was in Simon Kuf Tzadi Zayin of the Tashbeis Kot, and then the Simon Kuf Tzadi Tes, and Eino Omer Achas Bir Kolam is Somo Shmel Bnei Yisrael. They would not say that last pasuk. You know that again, looking back in source one, pasuk of Zayin, Somo Shmel Bnei Yisrael. They didn't say that pasuk, and he says even Birchas Kolam we shouldn't really do it. In those days they used to do it, and we have whatever we do is just a replacement. In any event, it sounds again that you really shouldn't even duchen at all. We just basically do it on Yontif. But all right. More specific, the Kolbo. So first in Simon Yud Aleph in 31, he quotes Kosav Harab, that's from Mayor Rutenberg, Nun Ayin, stands for Nishmoso Eden, like Zichon Aracha, right? Nishmoso Eden is Nishoma rest in Gan Eden. Okay. She'ein Omer Machas Perich Nishoma Shemi, Tuchabirch, Birch, Konro Hel Omer Menadin. Okay. We really shouldn't say Birch Konim either. We're going to see a little elaboration of that. Because Kohanim is stuck in the between the brach of Avoda and Hodah in the Shemona Esrei, right after Ritzei and before Atol Shmucha Lachana. I mean, right after the after brach they go up during the brach of Ritzei, right? The brach of Avoda and they duchen right after Hodah. And anyway, the reasons there don't really work today. Again, it sounds like we don't have the full Birchas Kohanim. That's why they don't do it every single day. And in Kuf Sim and Kuf Kaf Hey 32, the Kolbo writes, "Ve'ein hamina gatoa la'sos nisikvayim ela b'shabbosus v'yomim tov." He mentions Shabbos, which we don't do, but he says Yom Tov for sure. So the Kolbo says already his time, again, it's one of the Rishonim, writes in his time, our minig is not to do Birchas Kohanim every day, just Shabbos and Yom Tov. He writes, "Ve'efsher kinimnu mipnei torach tzibur." Maybe again, because people have to run to work, tirchid tzibur, takes too long, the length of the davening, etc. Okay, that's the reason he accepts, but whether we like the answer or not, that seems clearly to have been the minig in Ashkenazi communities. The Beis Yosef was aware of this minig. In Or HaChaim Sim Kuf Chaf Chaz Osmem Dalad 33, he quotes that Ogur the Maharil that we mentioned before and the suggestion of the answer that he gives and so on, but he's not really thrilled with any of those answers, okay? He says it's very, very difficult to say that just because they were machmir to go to the mikveh, and now the can't always go to the mikveh, they're going to get rid of the whole mitzvah. The mitzvah say, and he quotes the Gemara, says, not in that, but in a certain sense, you violate three different mitzvahs. You're going to do that just because of this chumrah. He totally doesn't like it. And at the end there, the Beis Yosef, right, at the end of 33, V'yasher kochom shel b'nei Eretz Yisrael v'chol machos Mitzrayim shenosim kapeim b'chol yom. Shekoyach. So the Jews in Eretz Yisrael and in Egypt and other Arab lands and so on, other Sephardi lands, who duchen every day. They ain't told them, they don't bother with Tanoch, don't go to the mikveh. But they duchen every day, that's what they're supposed to do. That's clearly the preference of the Beis Yosef. The Ramah, there in Simon Kuf Chof Ches, in Oz Chof Aleph, 34, Darkei Moshe on the tour, he writes, on the Omer, again, he justifies Ashkenazic practice. On the Omer, no, he was a little bit of a different reason. He said, the reason we don't do it every day is, again, because people are busy trutin b'michyosan b'galusan. We're in Galus. The Jews, certainly the European Jews, did not have an easy time of it in Galus. All kinds of tzaras and problems and pogroms, and Jews weren't allowed in many trades, had to work in certain areas only and so on. And then we have all this trouble in Galus, and people struggle to make a living and put a little bread on the table for their family. Trutin l'michyosan v'einam shruim b'simcha. And we don't really have full simcha. So you're really supposed to be, when you have Birchas Kohanim, supposed to be b'simcha. Supposed to be a mitzvah done, b'ahava, with simcha and so on. And people aren't b'simcha. And therefore, we don't duchen during the regular weekday. On Yontif, says the Ramah, when there's a mitzvah of simcha's Yontif, so then we're b'simcha, then we can do the Birchas Kohanim. That's why we don't do it on Shabbos. Okay, even on Shabbos, the Ramah writes, third line of 34, V'af b'Shabbos, ein anosin kapeim, not like the Kolbo said. Ramah writes, we don't do it on Shabbos either. They should truly do machshavto miruhurim. We're busy thinking about work and thinking about their activities, and people had to struggle just to put food on the table. And even Shabbos, they were somewhat depressed and so on. Just Yontif, they weren't. Okay, it's an answer explaining why we don't do Chen every day. It still remains problematical, but that is the practice. The Shulchan Aruch, in Sim Kuf Chav Ches, the Ramo and Sif Memdal, writes, Nogu b'chol medinus elu, she'ein nosim kapayim elav yontif. The minig around here is we only dochen only on yontif, neisha oz, mishum she'oz, shruim b'simchis yontif. And the tov lev hu yivarech. We've got to be cheerful, good-hearted, you know, good spirits when you deliver birchas kohanim. Otherwise, you don't do it. Okay, ma she'ein came b'shar yomim, afilu b'shabas v'sashon. She'trudim, we're busy and occupied, preoccupied with making a living, with our work and all the tzaras that we have. And even on Yontif, he writes, listen to this one, even on Yontif, we only duchen and musaf. But the Yekas, the embroidery is duchen and Yontif, shakras and musaf. But the Ramah here writes, even on Yontif, all right, we do birchas kohanim Yontif because we're more cheerful. But even then, we only do it at musaf. Why? Listen to this. She yotzim oz mekinesis, because you're about to get out of shul, you're in a good mood. Right, shul's almost over. Oh, good. Okay, in other words, the shakras is still a long part of davening to go. But Yontif, you come to musaf, you're in a good mood, you're about to leave shul, you're going to go home and have a delicious lunch and so on, right? Yismichu b'simchas yontif. All right, so that's what the Ramor writes. And then he says, when we don't duchen with kohanim, we say that replacement paragraph, elkenu elkenu barchenu barbrachim shalosh b'torah, the chazan says, you know, it's a replacement for birchas kohanim. Okay, at the end of the sim, sif, rather, sim kum chav ches, sif mendalad, the Ramor writes, the Yom Kippur is like Yontif, or some also do it by Ne'ilah. Some people do it Shachar. Yom Kippur is different. But in any event, that is the psak among the Ashkenazim, that we only duchen, as I say, we had a few different reasons. We had about five different reasons. Either it had to do with, they didn't want to duchen without having gone to the mikveh, and that was too difficult. Or because of Bittul Malacha Tekhle Tzibura, or because of Bittul Torah, or because we're going in Shul, or the Ramah's reason because we're not really in a mood of Simcha other than Yantiv. These are all difficult terutzim to say the least, even the Mishabura. There in Simon Kuf Chav Ches, Siv Kotten Kuf, Samach Dalat, 36. Ube'eret Yisrael, Bechol Machos Mitzrayim, Aminig Lisa Kapai Bechol Yom. In other communities, in the Sephardi communities, in Eretz Yisrael, the minig is they do Dochen every single day. Poskim kills on the Hagmah Zan. The Poskim like that. They think it's more correct. Okay, and it probably is more correct, but nevertheless, that is our practice. The Beis Ephraim, Ephraim's home, Margolios in the 1800s, Shuas Beis Ephraim, Orachaim, Simon Vov, Hilchos Kapayim, was also asked, why don't we do it other than Yontif? And what do you mean? It's a mitzvah, it's a name in a Torah. What's going on? And we should do it. We should do it every single day. So in the Tshuva, he writes a very interesting thing. He writes, let me explain. Number one, this is an old minig. The fact that Ashkenazim don't do it has gone back hundreds and hundreds of years, many centuries. He's writing in the 1800s. He says the minig among Ashkenazim not to duchen other than Yontif goes back more than 500 years. He writes in the 1800s. Reis Ephraim writes, right? And he says they didn't do it. He quotes Amram Rutenberg, who was a Rebbe of the Rosh and so on. And the Ramon, and again, all the Medinos Ashkenaz. All the Ashkenazic posts say not to do it, and the Rabbah and the Taz and so on, they'll say not to do it. So therefore, you can't just say, oh, we should do it. There's an old minig in Ashkenaz, okay? And you can't just go and change things just like that, all right? That was the minig that they accepted for Dore Doris for many, many centuries. And even questions whether you'd be allowed to change it and so on. Then he gives some of the reasons, the Maharil, Bittul Malacha, right? And others, but Lamaisa, nobody wanted to change it, and therefore that is the minig. All right, we today on a lower level, we can't just go ahead and say, now we're going to start duchening. Maybe there's some reason we don't know about, and there's something else that we haven't thought of. So therefore, we don't change it. And then he says, towards the end, it's true that some of the answers are a little bit difficult. He says, some mention the fact that today is another issue, okay, that maybe our Kohanim, how do you know that somebody's really a Kohen? I don't know if somebody's really a Kohen. Right, the guy claims to be a Kohen, maybe he's not a Kohen. Right, so we don't have any records today of who's actually a Kohen, who's not actually a Kohen. We don't really have records. And, a guy claims to be a Kohen because his father was a Kohen. Okay, right? I mean, I told that joke before, right? The guy who comes to Rabbi and he says, Rabbi, I'd like to I'll give a big donation to the shul if you make me a Kohen. So the rabbi said, I can't make you a Kohen. I mean, goes to a different rabbi, same thing. Another rabbi says, well, why do you want to be a Kohen so badly? Well, my father was a Kohen, my grandfather was a Kohen, my great grandmother was a Kohen, so I want to be a Kohen too. So the rabbi said, okay, you give a big donation, we can work it out. Anyway, the point being that a kohen is, because he claims to be a kohen, we don't really know that for sure. Every kohen is a kohen sofek, so maybe it's a problem. But that's other people say that that's not such a big concern. Anyway, so that's what the Beis Ephraim discusses. Some sofer in the tshuva, Chelek Archaim Simon Chaf Gimel 38 says Yodati Ki Agon Moren Arab Zaman Margolius B'Tshuvas Beis Ephraim. First, that Tshuvas Beis Ephraim. Again, wondering why there was no Brichas Kohanim. I do want to mention. Let's find this now. Quote I didn't see before. No, I don't see it. Okay. I thought it was in the Beis Ephraim. He mentions, before I get to Chassam Sofer, he mentions when it started. He mentioned when, he said it goes back hundreds of years. He mentions when it's, he thinks when it started. I don't see it now inside the text, but he mentions that he thinks maybe it's something which happened in the time of the Crusades, when so many things went wrong for Ashkenazi community. That was the beginning of the trouble for the Ashkenazim, was at the time of the Crusades. Where is it now? I didn't print that part by mistake. Just a moment. Yeah. Okay. I thought I had it here. But in any event, the Beis Ephraim says that perhaps the minhag started, again, he says hundreds and hundreds of years, and he says that it was done because at the time of the Crusades, there were so many challenges, so many difficulties that befell the Jewish people, and so many tzoros that, you know, it was, as I said, it's really the beginning of the tzoros for Ashkenazi Jews. And he said maybe that's when the minhag dated back to, not to Duchen other than on Yontif, because with such a difficulty, such tzoros that the Jewish people are undergoing, that we can't, we're not in the frame of mind ever again, you know, and then there was trouble for the Jews, okay. Again, starting at the time of the Crusade. So, you know, I guess I forgot to print that. I'm sorry. It's an important quote. There it is. I'm sorry. The very end. The last part of the Beis Ephraim. I was looking at the wrong paragraph. Very last paragraph in 37. Rak atu b'dor zechon, etc. He says, v'karov be'enai, sha'acha shnas, tof tof nun vav. That was corresponding to the solar of the secular calendar, 1096. Most of these Ashkenazi communities suffered tragedies, crusades, and on. And that's why we say tefillos in the days of the Sira and Avarachim and all these different things. So therefore, geder gadol b'davar shaloli sokav b'chol yom. You don't want to forget about the Brichas Kohanim altogether, but we're not in the right frame of mind, in the right mood. That's what the Beis Ephraim says. It goes back to the time of the Crusades. Now, the Chassam Sofer quotes the Ephraim Zalman Margolis, he quotes that tshuva, and he mentions something else. He refers to Gemara and Megillah, written in 39, Megillah Chesem and Aleph, as to where Brichas Kohanim is presented. Why is it after the Bracha of Hodah? So that goes back to the pasuk we mentioned earlier in Parshas Shemini, the first time Brichas Kohanim was uttered. Right? Not in our Seder. Our Seder is the first time the Sukkah was mentioned by name, you know, with the words, but it was referenced already in Parshas Shemini. In Vayikra Perek Tes Pasuk Chavei, Source 8, Aaron, at the time of the dedication of Mishkan, it says over there in 8, Yisra Aaron and Zodah, Elam, and Zodah blessed them, and it was after he brought all the Korbanos, and it was after he thanked Hashem, so we make the bracha right after thanking Hashem, right, the bracha of Odor, right after Tov Shimcha, Ulchon Na'al HaHodos, but it's also connected to Avoda, that's when the Kohanim go up, Tefillah takes the place of Avoda, says the Chassam Sofer, we're not so careful without Tefillahs. We don't have proper Kavona. So he didn't have proper kavanah when he brought a carbon, so that would mess up everything, including Brichas Kohanim. So today he says, you know, we don't have proper kavanah, we're so tarud and so on, and tefillah without kavanah is like a carbon that's not accepted, so you wouldn't go ahead to duchen after that. It's like a psul in the service. So all our tefillah is like our puzzle. You know, I mean, it's just a fact of life, unfortunately. We unfortunately don't have kavanah. So that's what he says. But in Eretz Yisrael, he says, you know, people are comfortable in our land, so it's a different story. That's the reason some sofer gives. Okay, now, as you can tell, all of the terutzim that we gave here, not exactly the most satisfying terutzim. Okay, there are justifications, and the Beis Ephraim says maybe there's reasons we don't know about. Again, it goes back to the time of the Crusades, centuries and centuries ago, a long time ago. But still, no less a person than the Vilna Gaon decided, we got to fix this up. It doesn't make any sense. There are no real good terutzim. So listen to this. Take a look at 41. Chuvas meishiv dover, the netziv, chelik beis, simen kuf dalet. Zachuni sheshamati, kimidu mechosni agon of Yitzhak, agon of bezin the Valojin. My father-in-law, Rabbi Yitzhak Valojin, that's the son of the Chaim Valojin, who was the Talmud of the Groh. I believe I heard from him, shepam achas hiskim rabbeinu ha-groh, zal, lahanhig nesiyas kapayim b'chol yom b'beis midrasho. The Vilna Gaon at one point had enough. He said, there's a mitzvah saseyev that is on him. All these justifications, you know, why we don't do it in the chutzarets other than on yontif, are not really solid answers. I don't like them all so much. I'm going to answer to it. We're going to have Birch Khan in my shul every day from now on. And he was prevented by heaven from doing it. He was arrested. The Vilna Gaon was arrested. It's true. He was in jail. Okay. Time some big tumult in Vilna. The Vilna Gaon was thrown in jail. And therefore he said, you know, it was a simon. The day I was supposed to institute Birchas Kohanim in my shul, he got arrested. He took it as a simon. Hashem didn't want to do it. And continues in it. My grandfather-in-law, Chaim Volozhin, right? His came also Yom Echad that he's going to start on the next day. Have the Sis Kapayim every day. Uba'osa Alayla Nisav Chatzayir. Fire broke out in the town that night, burnt down half the town. So they also took it as a sign from Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't tamper with this practice. So that's they didn't. In the Aruch HaShulchan, it's in Kuf Chav Ches, in Sif Gimel 42. He mentions the Ramon's Terutzim. He says, you know, what the different reasons are. Okay, but look at Sif Samach Dalam. Hine vaday ein shum nachon tam nachon lamin hageno levatel mitzvah saseh debirchus kanim kol hashana kulu. We don't really have any solid reason not to do it because of the minhag garuahu. It's an improper minhag. But avol ma nase, what can I do? We can't fight City Hall. He writes, uke'ilu bas kol yotza. It's as if a bas kol came out, a heavenly voice came out and said, don't do it. Okay, that's it. And Mekublani, I have a tradition, the two gedolei ador. Again, the Vilna Gaon or Chaim Volozhin tried to do it, and different tragedies happened, and therefore they didn't do it, and that's it, we leave it alone. Okay, and that's it. All right, at the end he says about our topic, about Shabbos, which segues into what I wanted to mention for the rest of this year. In any event, the minig in Chutz La'aretz among Ashkenazim is we do not duchen other than on Yontif. Okay, not Chol HaMoed even, but just on Yontif. Question is, what about when Yontif falls on Shabbos? As I said, it did last Shabbos, the second day of Shavuos. It'll happen again in the fall. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres will be, that's Shnas Tov Shin Pei Dalet, will be Bez Hashem, the first day on Shabbos. And the question is, should you duchen when Yontif lands on Shabbos? So the Levush, it's in Kuv Chavcha Sif Mendal, 43 quotes, Hagah, will be Pozen, in the city of Pozen, Noagin Lisa Af B'Yomtif Shecholos B'Shabbos. In that city, they would duchen even when Yontif landed on Shabbos. Lafuke Shar Mekom She'ein Nosin, Rak B'Yomtif Shechol B'Chol V'Lo B'Shabbos. In most other places, they didn't. So that's the practice of who said that Ein Hachanami, many shuls, they did not duchen at all. Not like we do, where we just to say quickly, we don't sing. They wouldn't duchen at all when Yontif landed on Shabbos. I told you, some of my shul told me, and someone else also told me, grew up, that was the minute they did not duchen on even on Yontif, if it landed on Shabbos, only a weekday, and that's what's brought in the Levush. The Mugan of Ram, in 44, Simen Kuv Chavkaster, and Simen Ayin, the Mugan of Ram writes, he quotes the Minna Garua, and he writes, Uktsas mekomos on geshach Shabbos beyond the Einos in Kabayim, below Yodati Tam Ladover. I have no idea why that should be. Avram says, I got that really is off the charts. Maybe because the minig developed, he writes, to say this Rabbono Shalom, and we say this tefillah when the Kohanim sing, you know, we say a tefillah about the Hatovas Chalom, the dreams, and so on. So that's not appropriate on Shabbos, because on Shabbos we don't add extra tchinos. We say things in the Shemoneh Esrei, which are requests. We don't make extra requests on Shabbos. That's why we don't say the Rabbono Shalom. So maybe there, because there's a tchina on Shabbos, therefore, they wouldn't duchen. But that, again, you're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Okay, they shouldn't duchen at all. Just, you know, he says, then he mentions a funny reason, quotes a reason from the Sefer Pison Chalomos. Okay, he has Matshuas HaGaonim that had this practice also. because talking about the chalom, and he said you could even say it on Shabbos if you have a bad dream, because it's pikuach nefesh and so on. All right, anyway, but then he says, you know, what can we do? You know, there's some places that don't do it, but he doesn't think it's right. He doesn't think it's right. They shouldn't do it on Shabbos if it's on Yontif. He says maybe a reason goes back to this tevila business. What did we say before? We said that, you know, they went Kohanim and the Midig not to duch unless they went to the mikveh. Okay, before Yontif, he went to the mikveh. Okay, but you went to the mikveh and you want to be tar, so you have to be apart from your wife. You can't be intimate with your wife and carry while carrying some, because that will make you tummy. And since it's Shabbos, right, you know, they want to become tummy again, so therefore they didn't duch on Shabbos. Again, a little bit of a different reason, difficult reason, but that's the reason that the Mohar Brahm said, but he said, I don't really have a good reason for that at all. Likewise, the Taz, there in Simkotten, it's Simkuv Chafah, Simkotten, Lam and Vav. He says, again, the reason only on Yontif and so on. But he prefers the practice, you know, again, but what are you going to do? It's hard to be Mevatel LaMitzvah because it's a strange reason about Tevila. And then he writes in Kotten Lam and Ches, B'Ktsas Mekomos. No again shafila be yontif shalos b'shabbos ain ola duchen ve'eni yodeh shum tam oreach. Why is that? What's wrong with that? That really doesn't make sense. What's wrong with duchen on Shabbos? That really doesn't make any sense. Adrabba, Shabbos has kedusha nosefes, and he said ro'i levato b'mitzvah. So do away. So that minig you should stop. You don't want to tamper with the minig of not duchening during the week, like the Gron and the Chaim got into trouble when they tried to change that minig. Okay, I'll leave that alone. We won't duchen other than Yontif. But to say we shouldn't duchen on Yontif just because it lands on Shabbos, that the Taz writes, Roy Levatel Dovrzeh. Okay, that you got to get rid of that. That's absolutely wrong. You can duchen on Yontif even if it lands on Shabbos. Similarly, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Baal HaTanya, first of all, Rebbe writes, Kuf Chav Chesif Nun Zayin. He says, Yesh Mekomos, he's aware. Some places don't do it. And again, because they don't want to be apart from their wives and so on, and Shabbos and so on, because of the mitzvah of Ona. But he also thinks that's a difficult reason. And Chol Tom Elohim Liyashu Aminik, but Ein Vahem Kedai Levatal Mitzvah Seishal Torah. You can't do away with it. It's wrong to rely on it. And Chai Odom goes so far as to say very simply in Klal Lamed Beis Sifyin Aleph 47. Yesh Mekom Shein Nosek Amei Afilu Biyom Tzol Amei Shabbos. Behu Toz. It's wrong. It's a mistake. That's what he says. Push. It's an error. Okay. It's a mistake, and it should be corrected. That's the Chai Odom. He says simply a mistake to go ahead and not duchen on Yontif just because it happens to fall on Shabbos. The Eishal Avram of Buchach, on that Mogan Avram, it's called Nayan, it's in Kuf Chav Ches 48. He says also, you know, he says, I don't know, Ein li b'zeh yediyah klal tam kolshu b'zeh. I can't think of any reason. And certainly with Yom Kippur, you're not with your wife the night before anyway, right? It's Yom Kippur. So what's the reason they should apply to Yom Kippur? The whole thing is very difficult, okay? He brings up something else, okay? He mentions there was a practice that when they wash the Kohanim's hands, they put a little bit of very like rose petals or rose smell into the water. The hands would smell nice when they wash them. So there's a shaila about doing that on Shabbos, with molid breach. Okay, you know, create a new fragrance on Shabbos. So they would have that practice of Birchas Kohanim. Maybe that's why they didn't do it on Shabbos, because there is a molid breach on Shabbos. Or he mentioned another thing, because, you know, in the olden days, you know, we have indoor plumbing, right? In the olden days, you got to get the water from outside. So Shabbos, you can't carry, right? The well or the water source would be outside. They'd bring the water in. So maybe that was why, just like we don't carry the shofar on Shoshana Shechol Shabbos, we omit shofar blowing. And on Sukkot, we don't carry the lulav. We omit the tefillah's lulav on Sukkot Shechol Shabbos. So to here, we don't duchen on Shabbos because they may carry the water and so on. So that's another possibility, okay? You know, they take the shoes off, although they'll go out and wash. Okay, they'll go outside. Who says you have to bring them water? Why can't they just go outside? Well, then we're afraid maybe they'll take the shoes off, they'll carry the shoes. So these are other types of justifications for this this practice. Others disagree with this. Shaul Meshiv, Madura Chamishoa, Simon Memvav, okay? He says, you know, maybe he brings some reasons about Tevila. And again, but it seems again these answers are not really that that delightful. But he writes Minhag Yisrael Torah, people should keep them in Hagim. The only thing is Yom Kippur, you should. You're not worried about being intimate with your wife. So then Yom Kippur, you should do it. The Mincha Salos are two different shuls. Chelek Bay, Simon Lamed Hey, 50, and Chelek Gimel, Simon Nun Vav, 51. The Mincha Salos quotes this Muchacho Gong that I mentioned in 48, who mentioned this thing about carrying the water or carrying your shoes in your shoes Harabim. Says the Mincha Salos in Source 50, Chelek Bay, Simon Lamed Hey, you can't make up a gzeirah. Okay, the Gemara says we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos B'Shabbos because you may carry the shofar in Rosh Hashanah without an eruv. Okay, and the Gemara says you don't take the lulav on the first on Sukkos if it falls on Shabbos because you may carry the lulav. And the Gemara says you don't read the Megillah on Purim if it falls on Shabbos, which can't happen by us, but it can happen in Yerushalayim. Shushan Purim can be on Shabbos. When we have Purim Friday, they have Purim on Shabbos. So also you don't read the Megillah. That's all in the Gemara, says the Mincha Salos. But didn't say anything about not doing Brichas Kohanim because you might carry the water. You can't make up your own gzeiros. Whatever the Gemara says, they say it. Okay. And second of all, most of our Rishus are not really Rishus Harabim. Anyway, Mincha Salos does not like that reason. Okay. Does not accept that that reason. He says it's very hard to say that that's, you can't just make up a new gzeiros yourself. The Gemara says it by Shofar. The Gemara says it by Lulav. The Gemara says it by Megillah. But the Gemara doesn't say it by Brichas Kohanim, he might carry the water, but they don't say it. So you can't just make it up. It's interesting. It's a creative answer, but he doesn't like it. And similarly, another tshuva, that was Chelek Beis Simon Lamed Hey. Another tshuva, the Mechum Mincha Salos, Chelek Gimel Simon Nun Vav, okay, talks about, you know, Shabbos. So Shabbos by itself, not necessarily time of Simcha, when Yom Tov lands on Shabbos. So is it din of Simcha? And, you know, the other reasons, he also is not so delighted with any of these reasons. And he also feels that it's proper to, you know, proper to do it with that practice and let people duchen when Yom Tov lands on Shabbos, at least when once it lands on Shabbos. Okay, you don't have to knock it out on Shabbos either. So the Mishnah Berurah 52 writes, "It's in Kuf Kof Kais and Kotten Kuf Samach Hey." He writes, "The minig is bein shechal b'chol ubein or b'Shabbos you duchen when it's Yom Tov is a weekday or Shabbos." He writes, that is not the proper minig. Okay? So many people, he says, not right. All right? And it's interesting, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in 53, has a tshuva, Igros Moshe, Chelek Arachayim, Simon, Chelek Gimel, Simon, Yud Ches. He's talking about Yom Kippur. Okay, there was some tumult in the shul. He named Bedvar Sheyesh Bisakneses Shalom Anosim Sheein Manichin like Kohanim LeSikiporim Yom Kippurim Shekolus B'Shabbos, that they wouldn't let the Kohanim Duchen on Yom Kippur if it landed on Shabbos. Who toes? It's wrong. Yeshligarim should stop them from behaving that way, because even those places, he says, Afla Eil Mekomu Shenogu Shalisa Kapan Biyonta Shekolus B'Shabbos, and the Magen Avraham gave a dochek reason. None of the Magen Avraham's reason apply on Kippur. The reason about, well, concerned because they weren't toivel, or they'd be toivel, maybe came tummy again because they were with their wives and so on. That doesn't apply on on Yom Kippur. You're toivel on Yom Kippur, and you're not with your wife that night, so it doesn't apply on Yom Kippur. And second of all, the other reason that the Mogar Brum, and he mentions, so Tom Shechoshin Lashem Yomer Arbonosh, and the other answer that, well, you know, they don't want to say that extra trina. But in Yom Kippur, it's not a problem. In Yom Kippur, we say all kinds of other tchinas. Okay, that's a question about being a volcano. Do you say that in Yom Kippur or not? Shem Hashem Kerachem Echanam, when you take out the Sefer Torah. Do you say that in Yom Kippur or not? There are different minhagim about that. But anyway, Rav Moshe writes at the end, that's where I wanted to get to. Okay, Rav Moshe writes at the end. So he says, certainly in Yom Kippur, even if it's on Shabbos Yuduchim, and he writes at the end, don't be so fast to do away with this beautiful mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. And Gimel mitzvah say, like we said. And then he adds, look at this. Ubeprat bishnos tzoros elu. Shonu tzrichim levrochu l'rachay shamayim. We need nowadays as many brochas as we can get. Okay, don't be fast to dismiss brochas. We need rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, any excuse that we can have, maybe we don't want to undo the old minig and say we should do it every day. The Gaon tried it, and Chaim Elozen tried it, and didn't end well. Okay, but now to add on that we shouldn't do it on Yom Tov either, if it happens to end on Shabbos, that's not right. We need all the brachas, and certainly if it's Yom Kippur, the Tzorach L'Tzavos Gaon Shisu Kapayim. All right, don't say the Bono Shalom, fine. But he thinks that it's proper to in the Duchen, certainly in Kippur Shmolis with Shabbos and other Shabbos, other Yom Tov land with Shabbos as well. That idea that Birchas Kohanim generates Rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Birka Yosef quoted in the same similar Orchai Kuf Chavches in Sivkot in the Tess. He writes, Imatzibur Bitzora, Chasu Shalom Atzibur, Mispalam Tosim, Tov Yosher, Shmitzosa Shachar, Yiyu HaKohanim, Nosim Kapayim. If there's some trouble in the community, he says, Duchen that day, some problem. Why? Okay. Ki Yadei Nesias Kapayim, Misorim HaRachamim. So he even has this idea that if there's some pressing need in the town, some disaster befalling a town, so you can duchen that day. We need all the brachas we can get. And that's what Moshe writes as well. So the more widespread practice, at least around here nowadays, is that when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, we do duchen. Okay, we do duchen. Again, there's some place they don't. And, you know, again, we saw the Chayyadim says an absolute mistake. I think there's some Chassidish communities in Stibach that don't duchen at all when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos. But the more widespread practice, you know, that I know of, I've never seen it that they didn't duchen at all on Yom Tov Shacharis B'Shabbos. But the Mishnah Berurah comments in Siman Kuf Lamed, Siman Kuf Dalet, Buddy writes, Kishenosim Kapayim B'Yom Tov Shacharis B'Shabbos, Ein Lomar HaRibon. We leave out that Ribono Shalom. We don't say Ribono Shalom. We don't say that tefillah about the Hatov, about the dreams. That we do leave out. And that's why the Kohanim don't sing. Because one of the purposes of the Kohanim singing, you know, they drag out the last word of the bracha, or they introduce the last word of the bracha, the long niggun, you know, to give people a chance to say that tchina. That you don't do on Shabbos, because we don't add extra tchinos on Shabbos. We don't add extra tchinos on Shabbos outside the framework of this one. That's right. We don't add such tchinos on Shabbos. So therefore, okay, there's no point in the Kohanim singing, so they don't sing. Truth is the Gemara in Kiddushah, which implies that the Kohanim sang in the Beis HaMikdash for a different reason, so that people wouldn't hear the Shem Hashem, know how to pronounce it. And they would pronounce it in Beis HaMikdash, Birchas Kohanim with the name of Hashem, so they kind of blotted that out by singing. But the common reason for singing today is to give the people in Tzibur a chance to say that tefillah, that tchina about the dreams, and the other one, the Yerotzen, at the end of the Shalom. So on Shabbos, we don't say that, there's no need for them to sing, so we just say the Birchas Kohanim, which is how they do it all the time in Eretz Yisrael, right? One bang, bang. You know, the Makri says, Yerecha, that's it. Okay, but the Mishnah Berurah does add, when this will finish, okay, there in Siman Kuf Lamed, Sukkot and Dalet, he says, however, Imlo Shecholam Chalom Ra Ba'osu Halayla. Remember, that's a prayer for dreams. So, okay, general prayer about dreams, you leave it out on Shabbos. But if you had a bad dream, a nightmare the night before, on Friday night, in other words, and you're very shaken up, okay, by this dream. Sometimes people have dreams that are very disturbing, very, you know, get shaken up, but by terribly upset about a dream. So such a thing, there's such a thing called fasting, what's called the Tainus Chalom, you fast. Sometimes dreams, you know, have terrible things, and every dream has nonsense, the Gemara says. Every dream also has a bit of prophecy, so you misfollow. So you're allowed to fast, called the Tainus Chalom, and you can even fast on Shabbos, if you had the dream Friday night. If you had the dream 3.5 weeks ago, obviously it didn't bother you that much. So then you can't fast on Shabbos. But if you had it that night, you're really shaken up, you can fast even on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah says, so too, if you can fast on Shabbos, you can certainly say that tchina on Shabbos if you had a bad dream the night before. But other than that, you would not say that tchina on Shabbos. Again, you can even say, you even have a tainus chalom. By the way, if you fast a tainus chalom on Shabbos, then you have to sort of, quote unquote, make it up by fasting another day during the week. That's a different din. Point being, you can fast a tainus chalom on Shabbos. So, Mamela, you can say the tchina on Shabbos if you had the bad dream the night before. But other than that, we avoid the tchina. So, therefore, we just have a quicker Birchas Kohanim without the singing. But as I say, in most places, the practice is, even in Chutz Lartz, we do have Birchas Kohanim when Yom Tov falls on Shabbos, and we don't, you know, we don't omit it even if it falls on Shabbos. Question: why we don't do it the rest of the week? We gave different terutzim. Not all of them are so satisfactory, but that's the practice among Ashkenazim. We do it only on Yom Tov, and in most places, including when Yom Tov lands on Shabbos. Okay, wish everybody a good Shabbos and a wonderful week. And a Mazel Tov to Josh Rocklin on the forthcoming
wedding. Thank you very much. Very, very much.
Mazel Tov and a wonderful Shabbos.
Fun.